Today we welcome Maestro Hector Garcia. He is a master guitarist who is here to introduce himself and to entertain us a little bit with his amazing skill. Welcome, Hector.
Well, thank Maestro. You very much. Thank you. Nice being here.
Sure. First, why don't you go ahead and just play us a song, and then I'll find out a little bit more about your background.
I will do that. I think I know better to play the guitar than speak in English, so better as we start this way. Okay, I will play something by Francisco Tárrega, and this is one of the most popular pieces for classical guitar. It's a prelude.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You shared last night at a fundraiser for our veterans. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to be there. It was an honor for me. Very happy to contribute my possibilities for this cause.
Yes.
Thank you.
You have not always been in this country. You were born and raised in Cuba.
In Cuba. Havana, Cuba, yes.
And that was... as you were describing on our way over here, I got to have the pleasure to interview you in the car on the way over here. And you described there that Castro came to power in 1959.
Yeah, the 1st of January. I mean, the 1st of January, Batista, the dictator before Castro, left the country, and Castro was in the mountains at that time. But he came about a week after and took over the power.
And you were given a choice of either you become communist or somehow you escape from that country.
Well, that's the way it was for me, yeah.
And what did you choose? How did you?
Well, I was telling you, becoming communist or pretending, if you don't agree with the regime at the time, then you were in trouble. And you are in trouble today also, of course, now more than before. But I choose just to leave the country, since I could. At that time, the United States had diplomatic relations with Cuba, and we were allowed to leave and come back.
So you bought a two-way ticket from Cuba to where in the United States?
In Pan American.
On Pan American Airlines.
At that time, the Pan American Airlines was functioning, and I came to Miami as a tourist, I mean, pretending to be a tourist. My idea was not to tour in the United States, but I came as a tourist, and I had to buy, of course, a round-trip ticket. So I still have my ticket to return to Cuba by Pan American.
So did you tell any of your relatives that you were leaving and not coming back?
No, I didn't say.
Why not?
Nobody. No, because it was dangerous. If they denounce you that you are opposing the government and you are leaving because you don't agree with the regime, then they might incarcerate you or even kill you, shoot you against the wall, depending on your activities in Cuba at that time.
So anyone could have reported you?
Yeah.
Anyone. When you landed, what did you do when you landed in the United States?
Well, I asked for asylum. Mm-hmm. And of course, they knew the situation. I was talking to the counselor in Havana and told him my real purpose to leave Cuba was not to come as a tourist. So they grant me asylum, and since then I was a refugee for a while, of course.
And you had relatives here in the States?
Yes, I had relatives and friends, of course. There are some Cubans, not as many Cubans as today, but there were many Cubans already here.
And you were how old?
I was 30 years old.
30 years old.
Yeah.
And you have essentially not been back as a free American citizen to Cuba
since? I went back to Cuba, but not in Pan American, as you know already.
We are, so you have enjoyed freedom here in the
States. Yes. Do you know, in the United States, I guess, I am an American today, of course, but at that time, Americans didn't know what really freedom means in this country, since they haven't been in some place else without freedom. And I don't believe that you appreciate that much freedom until you lose it, as we did in Cuba.
So you know that firsthand.
Yeah.
Can you go ahead and play us another
song? I will play something
else. Thank
you. I hope you understand my English.
Very well.
Because, you know, I don't speak much English because I am practicing my guitar most of the time and I don't speak much. So.
Your guitar speaks a beautiful language.
Thank you very much. I will play something here by Tárrega, Francisco Tárrega. This is a mazurka, and the name is Adelita. And there is a little history about Adelita. I will tell you later. Let me play it and
okay. You
talk about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Maestro, that was amazing.
Thank you very much. Thank
beautiful, you beautiful. Thank Do you mind if I ask you? You were back to Cuba one time,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of off the record, but you participated in the Bay of Pigs
invasion. Yeah, it was not in Pan American Airlines.
No. But you ended up, that was a failed operation.
Yeah.
You ended up being a prisoner of war for 2 years as a result of that.
Yeah.
Right. And you survived that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really appreciate your freedom. You know what it's like to be a prisoner of war.
My life, my freedom. I saved my life there too.
So if you were to say anything to the young people in our country who have not necessarily appreciated or really thought much about the freedom that mm-hmm. we enjoy, what would you say?
You know, the first thing, and to make it briefly, not appearing like a politician, or I would say be careful with communism, because in Cuba, many young people at that time, they were for communism, because what you hear is that equality, everybody's equal. Anyway, everybody's equal anyway. We don't need communism for this to be established. But in the communism, everybody is equal, being poor, miserable, and hungry. Mm. And I don't want to be equal to these people anyway, and being controlled by the government. First things that happened in Cuba and all the countries where the communism took over is to turn the economy really bad. So the only employers, you know, they confiscate all the business. The only employer was the government. So to survive, you have to be depending on the government. Then the government controls you 100%. So one of the things that I saw in there, even being that young and inexperienced in politics, as I am today, I am not. I don't have experience in politics because I don't have time practicing my guitar. I don't have time for politics. I noticed that all the private business were confiscated. I said, well, this is not the way I want to see, because I knew that eventually it would be depending on the government. In fact, to play music in Cuba, you have to pretend to be or pretend to be a communist. So they allow you a visa to leave the country. You cannot leave Cuba freely if you want to. Mm. And of course, you cannot come back if they know that you are against opposing the government. So there was so much control that no freedom at all, nothing.
Wow.
When I saw that, then I tried to leave and do something about it. And I did something about it, but it didn't work.
You mean the Bay of Pigs?
That was the Bay of Pigs. Let me tell you something about Bay of Pigs. Sorry, okay. It's away from the war that took place there. You know, people think that Bay of Pigs, they ask me, well, do you see many pigs in the area where we land? And there's no pigs in there.
So where did the name come from?
No, that's what I am coming to. There are a lot of alligators, but no pigs. The pigs...
Alligators.
Yeah, alligators. But the name Bay of Pigs come because there is a fish in Cuba. It's kind of round like this and flat, and it's called pig. I don't know why, because it doesn't look like a pig. But this fish is called pig, like we have here trout or... Mm-hmm. In this area, the fish called pig abundant, so this is why it's called Bay of Pig. In this bay, they harbor in there, and the pigs are in there, the fish, and it's called Bay of Pigs because of that.
Bit of history there. Would you like to share another song with us?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Well, this is another prelude by Tarver. I will play. This prelude is Tarraga called Endesha. That Endesha, I don't know the I think that this is a similar term in English. Mm-hmm. Endesha means a complaint or a sad song, complaining
like
about his love abandoned him at that time. I guess that would happen.
Has a sadness to it. That's a tragic ending, sounds like.
Sorry, I'm playing these short pieces because in this way I have an opportunity to show different styles and different type of music. Mm-hmm. I could play something that long that might take the whole time of the program, but it's better to have different short things that show different style in classical guitar. And
you're thank you. You play from the heart.
Yeah, that for sure.
There's no music in front of you. It's all here.
Right. This is something else by Francisco Tarraga. You know, all the music I have been playing is by him because, well, I have the influence. Before I met my professor in Spain, I play his music already, you know, because I was a fan of Tarraga's music. And of course, when I met my teacher in Barcelona, I learned to admire more Francisco Tarraga because my teacher was a student of Francisco Tarraga, so he knew the history of his life and his music, etc.
So. Mm-hmm. So after you were here in the United States for several years, you were able to travel to France.
Yeah.
I mean, not France,
to Spain.
And study under the
Emilio Pujol, his name. Yeah, his name.
And he was the student of the
Francisco Tarraga,
who is known for what?
Oh, the classical guitarist know him by the father of the classical guitar technique. Mm. So most of his technique and effect that we get in the guitar is because of Tarraga discovered.
So you had a very inspired, well-trained teacher under the master himself.
Yeah. He was the only, he's dead now, but he was the only close Tarraga student that survived at the time I met him. So that's why I went to Spain to study under him, because of the Tarraga tradition. You know.
And do you teach? Do you also have students?
Well, not now. I retired. I was teaching at the University of New Mexico for about 20 years when I was living in Albuquerque. Well, now I am living back in Albuquerque. I taught in the university for about 20 years.
And you taught at the university for 20 years?
Yes,
you taught guitar?
Guitar, the classical guitar, yes.
In addition to that, you've been on television and for many, many years. You go all the way back to the Ed Sullivan Show and...
Oh, yes. The Ed Sullivan Show, this is another story. This is what I told you. We don't have much time. I wish we do. In prison, we formed a group to play music. I happened to get a guitar in some of the negotiations that they were
You were trying. Playing music with a group while you were in prison?
Yes. Because sometime during our imprisonment, there was some negotiation going on that didn't happen until finally happened. But before, there was some negotiation, and they allow us certain facilities, like a little bit of food, a guitar.
So that guitar must have been just so significant to you. It must have been like a lifeline for you.
I would say half of my life in there depends on my guitar. The condition was very, very bad. And in fact, in prison, some students start learning guitar, and today they are professor at some university and concertizing also.
So you were teaching
students? I was teaching
students
in prison.
While you were in prison, to other prisoners?
Well, the other prisoners,
You make the most of every opportunity.
Well, you have to.
Which is good advice. Go ahead and
I
play us.
I will pray that you'll be ready. Talking, I forgot what I was going to pray. Oh, yes, I mean. Something by Francisco Tarriga, okay.
Maestro, that was amazing.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for inviting me here. It's a pleasure to be here, really.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your music with
my
our
pleasure,
community.
My pleasure.
A pleasure.
Thanks to you again. Thank you.
Okay.